But the source of the peril in perilous times is what? Anybody know? Well, let's start reading here and we'll see what we can see. In chapter 3, there is an increasing evil, but there's protection from it. Let me read a few verses here if I could. This all know also that in the last time, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. I know I've got some notes on this chapter and I have some definitions for those words. If you're interested, I can get those to you. But there's a couple of words there you're not used to, like the word incontinent, for example. Anyway, verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Verse 6, for of this sort, and then he goes on and talks about some of the things that these people do. Verse 7, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then in verse 8, he mentions Jannes and Jambres. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you know about Jannes and Jambres? Anybody know who those people are? Mike knows? Okay. Okay. And how did you know that? Okay. Where? Yes, sir. Exodus chapter 7, 8, and 9. Let's go back and look at that just for a little bit if we could. Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7. All right. Everybody looking up here, let me remind you of what's happening. In Exodus chapter 7, God has sent Moses to the people, to the Israelites, to deliver them out of the hand of Pharaoh. And God has given Moses and Aaron some signs, some evidence that they could use to prove their authority. Now, just in parentheses, remember something. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ do miracles? It proved who he was. It proved that what he was saying was the truth. In John chapter 3, it was said, nobody can do these things except God be with him, is what was said. And when Nicodemus said that to Jesus, he knew that Jesus was special because of what he was doing. Throughout the Bible, in the Gospels about Jesus, the miracles he did proved who he was. He could control the weather. Who can control weather except for God? He could create. He could take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed thousands of people. That's an act of creation. He could heal. He could raise the dead. Who has control over life and death except for God? So the things that Jesus did proved who he was. Moses and Aaron were given some signs that they could use to prove to people that they were authoritative. But the interesting thing is, there were some imitators. Okay, I can't read all this to you for the sake of time, but Exodus chapter 7 and verse 10. Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. I'd like to have seen that, amen? Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And so let me just ask you this question. If you had been there and you'd seen Moses and Aaron and as the rod was cast down and it turns into a serpent, that's pretty convincing, amen? There's something special about you. In our day, I would wonder how you did that trick. Where'd you have that snake hidden before you got him out and showed him to us? But this is legitimately a miracle. And then the magicians of Pharaoh could do the same thing Almost. Folks, we live in a day where there are people that are very convincing deceivers.
That's right.
They will preach the gospel almost. They will teach the Bible almost. And they're very convincing. That's dangerous. How do you know the truth? And praise the Lord, we don't live in a day of miracles. Amen? How do you know who's right and who's wrong? How do you know who's true and who's fake? How do you know? The Bible. Now, here's the catch. Didn't the devil quote the Bible to the Lord Jesus Christ? So if you put yourself in that frame of mind for a minute where the devil's going to send somebody to deceive you, don't be surprised if a deceiver quotes the Bible. Don't be surprised. I'll give you the easiest example. If a Mormon comes to your door, in the first place, just let it go. Tell them, I'm not interested. Or your second choice, if you want to do so, is tell them, I would be glad to talk to you when my pastor is here with me. Normally, that'll scare them off. But if they're willing to do that, I've done that before, and we'll sit down and we'll look at the Bible. Now, they will tell you things out of the Bible, but not everything out of the Bible. And they will change things in the Bible, but they won't just tell you, I'm about to change the Bible. They'll tell you, oh, we believe. Here's the example. If you read the preface to the Book of Mormon, if you read the preface, don't do it, but anyway, if in the preface to the Book of Mormon, it says this. In the preface to the Book of Mormon, it says, the Book of Mormon, comma, as does the Bible, comma, contains the fullness of the everlasting gospel. Okay, first of all, you need to understand something. There's no statement in the Bible called the fullness of the everlasting gospel. That's a Mormon saying. But when I show that to a Mormon, I say, okay, look at this in your preface to your Book of Mormon. It's there. Look at the preface. It's about a third of the way into the first paragraph, I think. It says, the Book of Mormon, comma, as does the Bible, contains the fullness of the everlasting gospel. I say, so you right here, it says right here the Bible contains the gospel, right? Yeah. So it's okay if we use the Bible, right? And then we go to the Bible and find out what the truth is. Folks, Jesus has been God for all eternity. How do I know that? Hebrews, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Was it 10:8, I think? Yeah, he's the Alpha and the Omega. All things were made by him, John chapter 1. Without him was not anything made that was made. He's the creator. He's not a created being. He is the creator of beings. Amen? Now, they'd say, well, there's just some confusion there. No. We just found the problem, and the problem is you don't believe the Bible.
Right.
We believe the Bible. Amen?
Amen?
Okay. I'm going to hold you to that. Let's go back and look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 again. So, these are some examples of some of the kinds of peril that we might face. This is just a literal example. Jannes and Jambres withstanding Moses in verse 8. Resisting the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. And so he goes on and talks about what's going to happen to them. Now, I'm looking at my handout again, and it kind of melds with the one from last week, so I'm trying to kind of get through chapter 3. But the ultimate protection from evil, look at what Paul says in verse 14. He says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And then look at verse 15. And that from a child, or in other words, since Timothy was a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So Timothy has been taught in verse 14. He has learned some things, but he has also known the scriptures. Anything that the devil tries to do to get us to quit, to get us to fail, to get us to step back and stop serving, to get us to be injured somehow, is going to be contrary to Scripture. And I just got some things for you. One of them that comforts me is this. If you're suffering because of the truth that you believe, I want you to know you're not the first person to do that. And I like the prophet Jeremiah. Do you remember the story of Jeremiah? At one point, he told them that they were about to be taken captive, and they lowered him down into a dungeon, and the Bible says that he sank into the mire. In other words, the bottom of this dungeon was full of mud, and he's standing in mud, and I kind of picture it maybe knee-deep, waist-deep, something like that, and they left him there. And he could have died. There was no water to drink. It was just mud. There was no food to eat. You say, Pastor, would God let me suffer? He let Jeremiah sink into the mud. Amen? Amen. Did he die?
No.
Did God let Paul be stoned and beaten and shipwrecked and left for dead?
Yes.
Yeah. Did he die?
No.
Did Paul allow Peter to be cast into prison? Yes. Did he die? No. The angel let him out. Were Paul and Silas beaten and in prison in Philippi? Yes. Did they die? No. God let him out, and the jailer got saved, and his whole family got saved. Amen? Folks, God may allow us, in fact, I'll just say it the way the Bible says, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. God will allow it, and the devil's going to make sure of it. So there's going to be some things we're going to have to survive. Yes, sir. Please, I'm glad to hear it.
Steve.
He died, and he lifted up his... And you know what's interesting about that death? The Bible says Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, but when Stephen was stoned, Jesus was standing. That's interesting. I'm not saying you're not going to die. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying most of these guys didn't die. Yeah, Stephen died. Are there martyrs for Christ? I guarantee you, sometime this last week, I can't prove it, but I strongly suspect somebody died for the name of Christ last week. I know good and well people have died within the last month and the last year. And we've heard, I told you the story about the missionary or the pastor in Syria, and how he's seen church members that had been taken and killed because they believed in Christ. Folks, not so bad to die because to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. Amen? I'm not saying I want to be stoned. That's a rough way to go. But can God get you through that?
Yes.
You read a lot of the stories of the martyrs that were burned at the stake, and somehow God miraculously delivered them from a lot of the suffering. So there will be suffering, and there will be death. But there's also a whole lot of deliverance. All right, so if you've been watching the sheet here, we've kind of been filling a few things in. Number one, perilous. The peril in perilous times is caused by men, number one. Jannes and Jambres were the magicians who opposed Moses, number two. They were convincing because they could imitate the miracles of Moses, number three. According to 2 Timothy 3:11, when Paul was persecuted, he endured. Number five, our salvation is a result of faith, which is in what? Christ Jesus, amen. All scripture, let's look at verse 16. If it is scripture, is given by inspiration. Verse 16, chapter 3. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And that's a verse that we can preach on sometime. Now let's look at chapter 4. We've got about 10 minutes to go here. And let's just read a few things. Paul has been giving Timothy some lessons on enduring and some lessons on the times. And now 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's see, Brother Dahlman, can you do me a favor and read verses 1 and 2?
I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all
long suffering. Okay, let's just stop right there. You're not used to using that word that way, but when the army is on the side of the hill and they're all lined up on their horses and it's time to go, then the commander says, charge! And they all go. It's a command to go forward, right? Paul says to Timothy, charge. I charge you. In other words, you are charged or you are responsible to do what I'm about to tell you to do. Now, listen to me and think about this. Is it not true that God has given us some responsibility? Amen? I could ask some questions. Are we responsible to pray? Are we responsible to read the Bible?
Yes.
Are we responsible to do that once a month? How often you think? Every day you ought to be, right? Okay. You ought to have fellowship with God at least as often as you have fellowship with your closest human acquaintance, your husband or your wife. If I didn't talk to my wife for about 4 or 5 days, something's wrong. If I don't talk to God and don't hear from Him for 4 or 5 days, something's wrong. Okay, are we responsible to be faithful? Amen. Are we responsible to live a godly life?
Yeah.
So we got a lot of responsibilities, don't we? Now, we've learned now, and this year we have a couple of children in our school that are new to our Christian school. And in our Christian school, I can assure you, we take responsibility seriously. For example, students are responsible for studying for tests, for doing their homework, for being prepared for class. They're responsible. I gave my students an assignment last week, and they're going to be responsible this week to give me a report on a current event out of the newspaper. I told them, you cannot use the internet. You have to use a printed newspaper for this report. And some of them were looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Like, what's wrong with the internet? Newspaper. That's what you're going to use. And by the way, if you happen to have one you don't need anymore, bring it in. I'll put it on the table tomorrow and they can use that. But anyway, they're responsible. And is it not true today that a lot of people don't take responsibility seriously? Okay, here's a connection. If you don't take responsibility seriously, I'll just talk to myself and you two. If we don't take responsibility seriously, we're not going to survive. We're not going to endure. If I'm in the Army, I have responsibility in the Army. Have my weapon clean and operating properly. Have my uniform on. Have the equipment I'm supposed to have with me. When they would give us a mission, they would give us an operations order. But before that, we got a warning order. The warning order was, you're going to have to go out at such and such a time. Make sure your equipment's ready. Make sure you've got enough meals with you for 2 days. Make sure you got a clean pair of socks. Make sure you got so many rounds of ammunition. Make sure you have so many flares, so many smoke grenades. Make sure you have whatever else special equipment you had to have. Make sure you got your radio frequencies programmed or set in and so on. And so when the time for the mission came, if we didn't take that responsibility seriously, we were not going to succeed. Amen? So you ask yourself as a Christian, first of all, do you know what your responsibilities are? And then secondly, are you in fact serious about that? I remember I went soul winning with a fellow one time, and it was when I first got saved. And he was quoting Bible verses left and right. And I thought, I have no idea where this fellow got all this knowledge, but I better study. Hey, you know what Paul told Timothy? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You and I are responsible for knowing our Bible, amen? We're responsible for knowing our Bible well enough that when these deceivers come along and they pretend to be a man of God and pretend to be preaching a Bible and pretend to have a gospel, that we can be like the Bereans were with Paul and search the scriptures to see if those things are so. And when they start telling you stuff that doesn't go along with the Bible, for example, they'll tell you, there's apostasy came and there's no churches on earth that are true. You know what God promised? He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen? There's always been a scripture preaching church ever since the time of Christ. So, I know something's wrong with that fellow. I better stay away from him. Wow, I better hurry up here. Okay. So, we're going to be judged. And Timothy was given a charge to preach God's word, to do it even when it wasn't popular. That's the idea of being in season or out of season. And then he was to use these tools, reproof, rebuke, and so on. And he was not to be surprised when men rejected it and went after fables. It says in verse 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Don't you hate it when you tell somebody the truth and they won't listen to you? And maybe you're trying to warn them and they won't listen to you? Well, Jesus was despised and rejected of men, wasn't he? So you're not the first one to experience that either. So his final words, beginning in verse 5, he says, watch thou in all things. The word watch means to be alert, to be awake. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. And then, beginning, and we'll skip down to verse 9, and this is going to be your homework, okay? So if you're looking at the bottom of the page there, first of all, look at verse 8. He says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That's the answer to number 10. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. How many of you have received a reward in public where you got to go up in front of a bunch of people and be recognized? A ribbon or a medal or something like that? I'll tell you a funny story that was just come to my mind to kind of finish the class with. I was in the National Guard, and we were at Fort Hood, Texas. It was the middle of the day on a Saturday, and it was hot. And we were finishing our 2 weeks of drill. We'd been in Fort Hood for 2 weeks, and we were finishing up, and we're all in this big formation, and several companies, a whole battalion formation is what it was. And the battalion commander comes up, and the battalion commander says, we're going to give an award out now for the unit that has the best record of keeping track of their supplies, not losing things, not losing backpacks, not losing gas masks. You never lose a rifle. That wouldn't have even come close to happening. But the one that's the best unit, that's got the best record of keeping track of their material. And then he says, Lieutenant Schaefer, and he named our unit, come to the front and receive this reward. I had nothing to do with it. I just happened to be the guy. The fellow that was in charge of keeping track of that stuff was my platoon sergeant, Sergeant Vasquez, and he did a good job. And I got to receive the reward for the job he did on behalf of the unit. It felt good to walk up there and salute and receive the reward and go back to my guys, and they're all happy. And I didn't even do anything. But folks, when you and I get to eternity, if you endured, you didn't quit. You stayed faithful. You took your responsibility seriously. See, that's the way it works. You got the responsibility. You took it seriously. And therefore, you endure. You say, Pastor, why do some Christians fail? They didn't prepare. They didn't do what they weren't faithful to church. They weren't faithful to pray and read their Bible. They didn't pay attention to being holy. And they didn't take their responsibility seriously. And then when the affliction came, they failed. They're going to lose reward. Wouldn't that be so sad to be in heaven? I don't know how it's going to look, but it's time for the reward to be given, and you miss out. And folks, you don't get to try again next year. Just that one time, amen? Turn that around. Won't it be great when you get to heaven and you were faithful and you did prepare and you did endure the affliction and you did endure the persecution, and now the time comes to be rewarded and you receive that crown of righteousness? Now, I know good and well what we're going to do with those crowns. The Bible tells us we're going to give them back to the Lord Jesus Christ because he's really the only reason we're there. Amen. But can you imagine the horrible thought of walking up to him with nothing to give him? What you're doing in this life by enduring, by surviving, by taking your Christian responsibility seriously, by being faithful to church, by reading your Bible and praying and serving God, what you're doing is you're building up a reward that you can give to Jesus to show him that you loved him. Amen?
Amen.
That's what it's all about. All right, so homework. This won't be too bad.